Greetings again today in Jesus' name. My name is Steve Clark, and it's my pleasure to be able to share in the Daily Inspirations this week. This is day two, and this week for the Daily Inspirations, we're looking at seven things that the New Testament says that God is able to do. Yesterday, we saw that God was able to raise up children of Abraham from ordinary river stones. And I just encourage you to please go back and listen to day 26 for an introduction for this week and also how God did fulfill those words of John the Baptist when he told those Jews who came to be baptized, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. That God was able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So go back and listen to that. See how God raised up ordinary river stones to be the children of Abraham. Well, today, the next God is able that we're going to look at is found in Hebrews chapter 7. And verse 25, it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm going to read that again. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able, God is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So how is someone saved? How are we born again? How can we be a child of the living God? And how does Jesus save us to the uttermost that come unto God by him, by Jesus? How does God the Father save us to the uttermost that come unto him, unto God the Father, by Jesus, through Jesus? Well, the uttermost, it's a Greek word, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I don't even have it really right before me here, but it's, if you look up in Strong's Concordance, it would be the number 3838, and of course it would be a Greek word there, 3838, and it means completely or fully. So uttermost, it means completely or fully. So how does Jesus save someone completely that would come unto God by him or by Jesus Christ? Well, we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at salvation, the salvation of our souls, the salvation that is brought to this world through Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's where we all start out. We are all dead in trespasses and sins. It doesn't matter if you were born into a Christian home. It doesn't matter if you were born into a church that was the best church in the whole world. We start off dead in trespasses and sins. You don't have to teach a child how to want its own way and how to fuss to get its own way and how to be deceitful and how, you don't have to teach a child to do these things. We are by nature the children of wrath, it says. We have Adam's sin within us and the nature of sin, and we also have our own sin. And so you who have been quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that was my life. When I was, before I was saved, I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and I was just living in the world. My parents weren't Christians. I just wanted to please myself. I wanted to please. I just wanted everything to be revolving around me. I was a very selfish young man. I didn't care about anybody else. I just cared about myself. And that was my life. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. That word conversation doesn't mean like what we're saying, but it's actually what we're, our life, that it's an old English word. It means your lifestyle in this case. It says, among whom also we all had our lifestyle or our life, our living in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And there again, that just describes my life, that my life was in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See, we can have a good exterior. We can look good on the outside. We can wear our religious clothes and have our religious hat on, and we can drive our religious vehicles, and we can do all these kind of things. But maybe our mind is corrupt, and we have these ugly thoughts, and it doesn't matter where we're at. If we're not born again, if our mind has not been renewed by the Word of God, this is just describing the old man. This is describing people who are not saved. The lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And maybe the desires of the flesh is just to get rich. Just to get rich. You know that the Bible says in Timothy that those that would be rich or would want to be rich fall into a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. So it might just be the fulfilling the lust of the flesh is just to get rich. And it says, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's verse 3, Ephesians 2. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us, or hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So salvation isn't something that we can just work up. It's not something that we can just do better in and clean up our act a little bit. But it's a transformation of the old man into the new man. Just like it says in Corinthians there, it says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. So that's what the new birth is. That's what salvation is it's getting off of the broad road that leads to destruction, as Jesus said, and getting onto that narrow road. It's by receiving Jesus Christ into our life and confessing our sins and emptying our dirty buckets of our mind and the lust of the flesh. It's repentance of all those ugly things and all those things that we just, who we are. And it's becoming a new man, one that's renewed in righteousness and true holiness. So when you were dead in sins, he can make you alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That phrase in Christ is very prominent in the book of Ephesians, but also in some of the other books. But this position of being in Christ, if you are in Christ, you have salvation. If you are not in Christ, you do not have salvation. You might be in a good church. You might be in a good suit, clothing suit, or a good dress. But if you're not in Christ, you are lost as anyone can be. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's another phrase that's so important, that it's through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's by grace that we're saved through faith. Grace, we're saved. We are saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Is it grace? Is it faith? No, it's salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There it is again, in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he doesn't just leave us in a sinful state, but he changes our life. He changes our mind. We no longer have the lust of the mind and the desires of the flesh and the sinfulness of sin, but we have a new mind, a new heart. That's what he does for us. He puts us on that new road that leads to eternal life in Christ Jesus. And he gives us a new life, new works, good works that show forth the praises of God, that give glory and honor to God. Verse 11 says, wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, that the Jews call the Gentiles uncircumcision. It's kind of a derogatory term in their mind. But then verse 12 says that at that time you were without Christ. This is the former life again, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We didn't have any hope and we didn't have God in our life. But now, verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made near or nigh by the blood of Christ. And I'll stop reading there. But this is the gospel. We were wretched sinners, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be saved, and he can save us to the uttermost, fully, completely. And we can have confidence in that because he is able to do that. That's what we're looking at this week, is what God is able to do. He's able to save us to the uttermost. And I hope this just inspires faith in your heart that you can reach out to him and receive Christ and become a real Christian and be born again if you're not already. Let me ask you this question. If you would die today and Jesus met you at the door to heaven instead, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? If you met Jesus at the door to heaven and he asked you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? What comes to your mind? I'd like you to think about that. What would you say? What would you say if Jesus met you at the door to heaven and said, why should I let you into my heaven? Would you say, oh, because I go to this church, or because I drive this kind of vehicle, or because I don't do this, or I don't do that, or because I was raised in a Christian home? Is that what you would say if Jesus met you at the heaven's door and said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would be your answer? That's a very important question for you to ponder, because if you are trusting in anything that you have done, if you are trusting in any good works that you do, being born in a Christian home, or that you don't do this or you do that, or you you have this kind of lifestyle or you don't have that kind of lifestyle, if it has anything to do with you, my friend, I'd have to tell you that there's a good chance that you're not even born again, that you're not even going to be able to enter into that heaven. Because it's not about us and it's not about our good works, but it's about what Jesus did. It's through the blood of Jesus, just like this verse we just read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes far off, are made nigh, made near by the blood of Christ. It's by the blood of Christ that we can be made near unto God, not by our works. Our works are, it says there that it's by grace are you saved, and that's through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man would boast. You could boast about how good you attend church, how faithful you are at reading the Bible, at how you do this and you do that. You can boast about those things, but it's not about the things that we do, but it's about what Jesus has done, how we can be saved. And that's that we are saved to the uttermost or fully through Jesus Christ, who makes intercession for us. So God bless you. If you have any questions about this, I'd be happy to talk to you more about it. You can call my cell phone at 717-333-1786. If you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to pray with you. If this message has been convicting to you and God is speaking to your heart, you can call me, 717-333-1786. My name is Steve, and I might not be able to answer the phone when you call. I'll try, but just leave a message on my voicemail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But God bless you. Thank you for calling in.